My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Welcome in, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game. And the Warriors finally got a win last night as we record this on Tuesday morning after dropping 5 in a row. But Steiny, I think we were going back and forth during the game last night. We were talking a little bit here before we hit record on this podcast. That's great. Warriors got a win. Steph Curry was tremendous. He'll put the team on his back. But I think it's pretty clear that the Warriors have a lot of issues, and even though they won last night, not a lot of the issues that had been problematic have been solved, if any of them, right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I looked at it as though we didn't really figure anything out last night that we didn't already know. We knew Steph Curry still could play at an extremely high level. Wiggins has been pretty good this year, but outside those two guys, and I'll say a half for Draymond Green. I'll give him 2.5 players. But other than that, there was nothing else, again, that you look at and say, all right, things are trending up. Klay obviously didn't shoot well. His defense was poor. Poole is in some kind of funk that leads people to wonder if it has something to do with the punch with Draymond Green. And I think what we're finding out more and more, obviously, is Steve Kerr is becoming less and less trustful of Kuminga, Wiseman, and maybe even Moody at this point.
Yeah, and a lot to chew on, and I think you touched on everything, so let's try and just go down the list. Jordan Poole was the one that stuck out to me, because I'm trying to figure out what is going on with Jordan Poole, and my theory is not so much that it's about the punch, but more about the fact that he's being asked to essentially carry a group of players that are unable to be carried because they're, and I think it's hurting his game. I just keep coming back to, and I know he's the one player above the young guys and the bench players that does play with the starters and the bench guys, but I just keep coming back to last year when he was successful at the beginning of the season and really through the first half of the season, he was a starter and not a bench player. And I can't get that out of my mind. When he was averaging 18 a game and efficient, he was in the Klay Thompson role, basically. And yeah, different kind of a player, but playing a lot with Steph, playing a lot with Draymond, yes, with the second unit. But now I think it's just a lot harder for him to try and dominate with lesser players while the opposition is more focused on trying to take him out when he's in the game.
I think that's exactly right. I would add one little layer to it, and that is somewhere in this process, he is trying to, I think, be a facilitator more than he had in the past with when he plays with the starters.
Why?
Because I think he feels on some level, and maybe he was just told, hey, you know, when you're part of that second unit, that's your second unit, but you know, you're going to have to get everybody involved. like something like that, because it feels like he's become more trying to pass more than he shoots. And the reality is he's a better shooter than he's a good playmaker, but he's got to score to be effective. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Playmaking for Poole needs to be secondary. I think
you're right.
And come off of the fact that he's scoring, getting to the basket, looking for his own, making shots. And then he's the kind of player that if he's making shots and then the defense has to commit to him, then it's easier for him to go by somebody. Yep. The defense is in a scramble and he can make a play. The question now becomes, just keeping it on Poole for a second, how do you fix it? Because I'll relate this back to the Sacramento game. You saw Steve Kerr put him in the starting lineup in the second half. He took Looney out, put Poole in. About Poole, yes. I thought that was actually more about Kerr had eliminated three or four young guys from the rotation, and he thought, well, I'm just going to play Poole with the starters, and that makes Looney a more trustable bench player than the zero trustable bench players that I have right now. So in essence, that one move, you were getting more out of one bench player, and you were having a little bit of a better bench because Looney was going to the bench. Like, it was a real telling decision by Steve Kerr. There were a few of them in the game against Sacramento. Well, bringing Curry back with 10 minutes left. I mean, he played that game almost like in the second half it was a finals game, and then they still barely could beat Sacramento and needed Curry to go for 47 to do it. I mean, that was just – I just can't get around how much is not working right now for the Warriors.
JD, there's a big, big, big problem if you look at that box score. You ready? Minutes played. Wiggins 40, Curry 38, Thompson 38. That's only half of it. The other half of it is Anthony Lamb 16 minutes and Ty Jerome 12 minutes. Both those guys played more than Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman. So if that doesn't tell you either how important this game was or how askew the Warriors are right now, I don't know what does. They played Steph Curry 38 minutes in early November against the Sacramento Kings at home. And in that same kind of November game, they can't play their third-year center. And they can only play their second-year power forward 9 minutes. And then they go to two players, Lamb and Jerome, who nobody even knew who they were 2 months ago.
Well, and those two, up until last night, they were both not good last night. But up until that point, they had been better players than the younger players. Like, it wasn't crazy to say that they had earned those minutes. And then here's the other rat on the table. And I'll say this, and I very rarely say this. Warriors should have lost that game. Like, the Warriors should have lost the game. I'm still, and it doesn't have to be about the game specifically necessarily, this conversation, but they should have lost that game. And I'm still trying to figure out how they even won the game.
Well, they won the game like they win a lot of games. They made shots at important times, none more than those two threes by Wiggins. The Warriors can still, and they did it early in this third quarter too, you know, they can still hit you with some threes in bunches. There's no doubt about that. But I texted you, I don't know if it was the third or fourth quarter. I think it was probably early fourth when the Warriors were down. And to me, whether they came back and won the game was almost irrelevant, because whether they won that game like they did or had they lost that game, to me, nothing changes. The same problems are still there. And, you know, again, whether Curry goes for 47 and they win by three or not, that there's something going on with this team. Something isn't right. And I have a feeling it's dozens of things, to tell you the truth. Like, who knows what's, JD, who knows what's going on inside the locker room? All I know is Klay Thompson is a shell of himself right now. Jordan Poole doesn't even resemble the player he was last year. Kuminga and Wiseman and Moody, they're having the kind of impact Well, they're not having any impact, and it's time for them to have impact, and everybody thought they would have impact. They just don't have much going right now other than Steph Curry.
Well, and here's the other thing. You had Steve Kerr for the last really 4 or 5 days talking about rotation changes and different combinations and how the young players were going to play more, and he was going to go about doing things differently. And then he does it, and he has to scrap it in a half. And this is right. Not the first time. You know, I've been on this. Like, people were speaking over the last couple of days as if, I'll use Kuminga as an example, as Kuminga right. was somehow getting a raw deal. Like Kuminga needs to play more. Why is Kuminga not playing more? It comes out every game he didn't play. Somebody would ask the question, why is he not playing? And you know, last night is telling you why he's not playing. And the game,
right. exactly.
the time that he's been in the rotation. Hey, Kuminga's in the rotation, and within a game or two, he's out of the rotation. And yeah, I know he's probably going to play Friday and all of that, because you got to give him more than just a half. But the play on the floor is dictating why these guys are not playing, because they're not playing well. It's not like they're getting a raw deal. They're unproductive. And it's not that they're unable to play at the level of the starters and the championship core. It's that they're getting destroyed by the Magic and the Hornets yeah. bench and the Sacramento bench. And I mean, it's just they can't even come close right now to sustaining or maintaining any kind of a lead that the starters may get for them.
Well, and the other thing, JD, and I think sometimes it's been simplified into, well, the starters are fine and the bench stinks. Okay, that is true. The starters are fine. But every time there's a few starters in and a few bench players in, they're not very good then either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not talking about when they got five subs on the floor. They're not very good. I'm talking about when Curry's on the floor, but here comes Poole, and now Moody may be playing too. Or, you know, that's like they suffer too with three starters on the floor. Yes. If two bench guys are in. That's the part that, like, you can't just play. Tell you what, we'll play five guys together for 36 minutes, and then we'll play 12 bench, you know, five bench guys, 12. You can't do it. You gotta mix it up. And anytime it's been mixed up with any members of the bench, they've suffered.
They have. And that just leads you to wonder how it can be fixed. Because I feel like the Warriors right now, Steiny, they're searching for answers. They're reaching back. Like, this, I don't see this as a championship hangover. I really don't. Because the Warriors, and we talked about this last week, there are games where they're reaching back for something extra. And at times they have it, and at times they had it last night, third quarter, beginning of the game. They clearly wanted to get off to a good start. They did. Third quarter, they got down. They came back. Curry down the stretch. Wiggins down the stretch with the like, they're reaching, but they're not coming up with it every time they need it, which I think is a problem. Right. But there's too much that almost has to go right for the Warriors right now. And it's more to me about the disconnect that you keep harping on between the young players and the old players, because there's a lack of trust, I think, that's noticeable between the veterans and the young players. And I think it's noticeable both ways. I think the veteran players,
yes,
notice the young players aren't good enough. And the young players, I think the confidence is being hurt by the fact that they know that the veteran players think they'd be better off if they weren't even playing.
Exactly. Exactly. They're beating them up a little bit is the way I look at it. You know, the one thing I was thinking about with this team and the youth is, and I keep, you know, yes, these guys got drafted on a great team, but you know, even a year or so ago, Kuminga, and I'm going to throw Poole in. And the reason I'm throwing Poole in is because he's struggling, quite frankly. Because sometimes we have a tendency to take Poole out of that. But let's put him in there now. Wiseman, Poole, Kuminga, and Moody. Like, Those are four guys that Warrior fans had been thinking, oh, this is unbelievable. These guys are great, and they're going to have the torch passed to them, and they're going to be really, really good. Well, what you see is that Detroit's got better young players. You know, Orlando's got better young players. I mean, you know, like a guy like Onyeka Okongwu in Atlanta, he's better than Kuminga. You know what I mean? And he's given you more than Wiseman. So, like, that's the – and here's the other thing, JD. And we did this on the show yesterday, and Evan brought this up, our producer Evan Giddings. He got a bunch of the quotes from over the last year of the guys on the team talking about the two timelines. And Iguodala, we went back and listened to the Point Forward podcast. And if you listen to it now, it's pretty revealing. And Draymond Green also had a quote about how it's never been done before. And even Curry chimed in about how, okay, so that all happens and they win it. But what people are failing to understand is they didn't use the youngsters.
At all.
They didn't use them at all. So they win it last year, and now they come back, and the organization basically says, hey, guys, we got to play Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman. I mean, we just have to. And I think the veterans are still like, why? They're still not ready. And that's, I think, the philosophical issue that this team has right now.
And the other issue that they have is that they don't have as many good veteran players as they had last year.
Because
Gary Payton II has not been adequately replaced at this point. And I know he hadn't been playing for Portland, and he's still not going to play, I think, for at least another week. And Otto Porter Jr., Michael Green has not been Otto Porter Jr. And you can't expect him to be. I mean, he's somebody else that had struggled to a point. It should be noted that he didn't play last night along with James Wiseman. And rightfully so, if you've watched him play. Like, I got no issue really with either one of those guys not playing as Steve Kerr searches for answers. But DiVincenzo's been hurt, different player than Payton. But DiVincenzo and Jamichael Green were brought in essentially different players,
but to
bridge the gap between the championship core and the young players, and I think give Steve Kerr playable options to where when you need to go to those guys, you've got them and you can win with them, and you can leave the young players aside and get some wins when you need to. And the Warriors don't have that luxury either. Like, because you hear this a lot. I'm sure you'd hear it a lot on the show. I've heard it a lot on the post game show. Fans, the young players to just, you know what? You got to play the young players at some point. Just got to play them. The Warriors can't do it because they're barely playing right now, and the Warriors can't win enough to be a playoff team right now.
Right.
And so and I think that's where Steve Kerr is looking in the mirror with the coaching staff and going, well, what do we do? Because if we bite the bullet and say Wiseman's getting his 20 and Kuminga's getting his 20 a night, they stink. And I think the coaching staff knows if they did that.
Right.
At the expense of developing them, the team wouldn't be good enough to even be a playoff team, which is something that I don't think a lot of people took into account.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it's funny. And here's the problem with the losing JD. And Guru and I have been back and forth on this. And you know what? I got it. He's got just as valid a point as anybody else when he says before last night, they're 3-7. They're losing anyway at this point and not playing the youngsters. So why not play the youngsters if you're not winning now anyway? Not a terrible point. But I keep telling him, like, you know, he keeps saying, we need Kuminga and Wiseman. I'm like, okay, you can play him. Might not make the playoffs. But go ahead, you can go ahead and play them. And I know that's extreme, but they're behind. And you know what? And I don't – listen, I don't – there's no predictions here. There's no – well, it's official. But I think it's fair to now at least ask, huh, I wonder if Wiseman and Kuminga were as good as we thought. I think that's fair. I'm not saying bust. I'm not saying can't play. But – they look years away from being a rotation player on a championship team.
Like, no doubt.
At least 2 years.
No doubt. And the question becomes, do the Warriors sacrifice the now to wait around for that? And because that, to me, and look, I know it's early, but I think it's been so bad to this point, and they've haven't gotten enough from the couple of veteran players that they signed that I mentioned, to where I look at just this year in a box of, do you want to try and contend for a championship this year? To me, this is the year where you start entertaining, because of the financial components that are coming up. Maybe you do entertain trading the young guys for veteran help during the season, even, because I don't think they have enough as is to get through the season playing at the level that they're going to need to play at to have a legitimate chance to win a championship.
And the other part of that is, it's not like the league operates in the dark. I mean, the league knows, Warriors aren't playing Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman that much. Wonder why. Well, there's only one reason why, because they can't crack the rotation. So if they can't crack the rotation for the Warriors, you know, how good can they be? Especially when the Warriors are looking for reasons to play them.
Right. I will say this, though, and I think this goes back to the Pelicans game where the Warriors turned it into a full-blown developmental game. And like those, and I mean, I guess I have to throw Wiseman out because he didn't look good in that game. But Kuminga, like, the Warriors basically for a night, Steiny, were the Pistons or the Magic.
Right.
And you know what? It looked okay. And that, look, don't get me wrong. You can't win doing that. I mean, if they would be a 15-win team if they did that the whole season. But what I'm getting at is I do think there's a value for these young players if they were in those kinds of situations to develop. Like, it's not like there isn't talent there. It's just that the Warriors can't get the most out of the talent fitting these players' games in the box of 15 minutes around a championship core. Like, that is just a fail. And so do you in essence give up on a guy like Kuminga or Wiseman to try and make one more run at it? I tend to think the answer is probably no.
Interesting. Well, I was going to say
from some in the org, I'll put names on it. Like, I feel like Joe Lacob's probably still going to be reluctant to want to do that.
No doubt.
But, you know, is there a heat put on by the veteran core? I mean, I know we talked about who's playing well. Curry, like, if I'm Curry, I'm playing better this year at the start than I did last year. Like if I'm Draymond, like, and not that Draymond has clout anymore, but I'm thinking, like, this is ridiculous. Like, we can win it if we get a little help, but we need the help.
Yeah, and I do think there's. Do I have proof of this? No. But there's got to be a lot of push-pulling in that front office and coaching staff. Because, look, Joe Lacob, he loves Wiseman. We know that. He's on record as saying it. And I'm going to assume he really likes Kuminga. So Lacob, and they're Lacob guys. And here's the one thing. I don't ever do this to minimize, but Steph Curry's not a Lacob guy. And I think Joe Lacob is the kind of owner who, he loves having four. Unbelievable, but he's all, and if they get five, great. But his next real challenge is to win a title without Steph Curry so that he can say it was all me because he inherited Steph. And I know that's just a little nuanced thing, but
how far away are you? You know, you're light years away from that.
I know you are, but Joe Lacob at least wants to. He's going to want to give these kids a chance. Now, I don't know. I think some of their problems are unsolvable with this unit or with this roster. Let me just throw this at you. We'll switch it up a little bit because, you know, sometimes we sugarcoat stuff. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night watching Klay Thompson, and I'm going to use a harsh word here.
You went where I wanted to go.
He's pretty selfish. To me, he's playing selfish. Extremely selfish. And I think there's a difference between not having a conscience and being selfish. And he doesn't have a conscience, and that's great. But he's being selfish right now, I think. I think he's shooting every time he gets it. And I also think by doing that, everybody knows he's not playing well. And now he's putting pressure on teammates to find him and to set him up. It's almost like it's almost like Steve Young trying to force the ball to Jerry Rice because Rice is, hey, I'm open. I got to get it. You know what I mean? And just everybody's trying to cater to Klay a little bit. And the reality is last night, Klay was awful. He was terrible last night. He took bad shots. His defense was as bad as I've ever seen it. Felt like guys went by him left and right.
Malik Monk looked like De'Aaron Fox.
I know. In fact, there were a couple times where I'm like, well, he can't, you know, that's tough for him to match up with Fox. I'm like, oh, that's not Fox.
That's Monk.
I know. So, you know, how much do you believe in Klay coming back? Can he? And now it's a case of, can he get back to what he was in the the playoffs last year?
Where my mind goes with Klay, he reminds me right now of two players in the league in recent years that,
Can I just guess?
There are two players that he reminds me in the last, let's say, 5-6 years. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I'd say Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook.
Correct. Bingo. He reminds Klay Thompson right now reminds me of Russell Westbrook and Klay and Carmelo Anthony, in that both of those players had a decline and refused to change their game for multiple years to offset the fact that there is a clear decline. It's okay to be a declining player and figure out what you have to do to still be a productive player. And it took Carmelo Anthony, I think, 3 years. Like he went to OKC and refused to come off the bench. And then they sent him to Houston, and then he had to get cut in Houston before some of the Portland guys like Damian Lillard said, "Hey, come here and come off the bench. It's okay. Like we'll give you." And look, Klay's not that bad yet, but there is a clear decline that to where he used to be that he can't accept. And Westbrook, it's the same thing. Like Westbrook, year not coming off the bench, not coming off the bench, can't come off the bench. And I'm not even saying Klay should be coming off the bench right now. I'm just saying, to your point, just you don't have to take every shot. You don't have to hunt every shot. You don't have to take three shots for every open shot that you miss to try and bounce back. Just relax and let the game come to you. And just in the back of your mind, accept the fact that maybe you aren't going to be quite the you can still be a good player, but it's not going to be 2018 again or 2019 again. I think there's a window for Klay to still be really good in a different way and good enough to help the Warriors win, but it's not going to happen with him playing the way that he's just defiant toward having to play. And I thought even last night, there were times where he had the breakaway steal, Steiny. He had the breakaway steal, and I looked at Whitley and Evan, who were sitting next to me, and I said, is he going to make the layup? And it was basically a one-on-one. I can't remember, was it with Fox or Monk or somebody? And that was me saying, I don't think he's going to make the layup. There was another time where he drove. He doesn't have the lift. He's a little bit in his own head. He can't quite. And I think that frustrated him into making some terrible passes later on because he thought, I can't score. So now I got to try to overpass, and then you're turning it over. And the Klay Thompson problem is real and it's pronounced. And again, we talked about it last week. It's getting worse again.
Yeah, it is.
It's getting worse.
The one thing that I would say is, if somebody were to say, oh, you can't compare Klay to Carmelo and Russell Westbrook, is like, yes, you can. Stubbornness wise, you absolutely can. In fact, I almost think it's going to be, if you moving Klay to a sixth man, don't you think it's crazy? Like the idea of even mentioning that, the first thing you always say is, oh, Klay can't do that. Klay won't do that. Like, why? I mean, Steph Curry came off the bench in the playoffs last year. Like, I get it. We love Klay because of who Klay is, but why can he just do this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, Steve Kerr shot it down, and this it was stunning to me that he shot it down in the context of last season, where he was going to be on a minutes restriction and coming off of the injuries. Like, why would it have been crazy for him to come off the bench a little bit at the beginning, coming back last year? And then Kerr admitted later with Draymond that it didn't quite work the way they did it with Klay. And then they brought Draymond off the bench when he came back off an injury, almost because Klay didn't work, but don't say Klay has to come off the bench. Like that's an elephant in the room that they didn't want to deal with.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I mean, they're in a bad way right now. I do want to spend just 2 minutes talking about Curry because I do think it is, you know, everything is not great for the Warriors right now, but Curry is just off to a sensational start. It's almost even in that it's alarming just because the Warriors are not winning enough.
Exactly.
For how great he's playing.
Exactly.
But what are you thinking right now if you're Curry?
It's a great question. Because on the one hand, I do think last year's title, of course they want to win 5 and 6, but last year's title, there is, I don't know if it's a hangover, but I think that was the big one to all of them. I really do. And I think Steph's come back and he's Steph. I think he's going to give it a, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. But I do think behind the scenes, he has conversations with Myers and, you know, what do you think? I mean, and that's where they're honest. And, you know, Steph saying you can't play the young kids.
I wonder, we'll end it on this note. I wonder if Steph views the way that he's playing and thinks coming off of last year, well, damn it, we can win another one. Like, right. I'm good enough to win another one. Like, maybe you wouldn't have thought that a year ago or 2 years. Like our core is good enough to win another one, but we don't have enough. And,
right.
And so it's in essence, you won the fourth one, but you feel you're playing well enough to where why not get greedy and want that fifth one? Because you can sense that you're not declining in the way that maybe everything around you is declining. So something to just, I think, keep an eye on as we move forward here and keep in the conversation. So, Steiny, great stuff.
We'll yes, do sir. It again
next week for 95.7 The Game, JD and Steiny, Warriors Weekly Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.